All right, turn with me to James chapter 1. We're going to be concluding, talking about relating to others and what a big deal our relationships are. And the fact is that we have to do it God's way. And, you know, Jesus said this one time. He told a group of people, he said, "You have made the word of God of no effect because of the traditions that you passed on from your fathers." Okay? And he's talking about, you know, natural human reasoning that is contrary to the word of God. And really our whole life, as we grow in the Lord and as we look at scripture and as the Holy Spirit deals with our life, we come face to face and we're confronted that my way might not be God's way. And when we discover that, then we have to say, "Lord, let your will be done. And I'm going to renew my mind and I'm going to set my heart to do it your way." And what we find out is that God's way is the best way. All right. And it's just really foolish and silly that we hold on to wrong because God's ways are a path of life. And it is the path of abundant life. And so we just need to just have a lifestyle of conforming our heart and our mind to God's word. And when we do that, life gets better and relationships certainly get better. All right. James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." And over the last number of weeks, and if you haven't been here, you can certainly get the CDs. You can get online, download the messages. But we've heard some things. But today I want to challenge us as we finish talking about this, but it's certainly not finished doing it, that we put into practice the things that we've heard, to put into practice God's word. And the other thing in talking about this today, I want to really commission us to be initiators when it comes to relationships, that we take action. And I feel like in this area of life, there are a lot of people who just kind of wait for relationships to happen. And maybe you realize, you know, I don't have enough good friends. I don't have enough godly friends. Well, I'm asking you today, what are you doing about that? All right. Maybe you're not married. You're in a romantic relationship and things aren't okay. Well, what are you doing about it? Well, I'm praying. Well, you need to do more than pray. All right. And thank God for prayer. We're going to pray tonight and we believe in prayer. All right. But there's action. There are verbs that you need to be doing empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay. And so many times in life, in our relationships, people kind of have a victim mentality that all of this is just kind of happening to me and there's nothing. No, you need to do something. All right. And we need to do it in a godly way. And so I want to exhort you today of a number of things, and some of these things are going to be kind of summary things of from the past number of weeks, of things that we talked about maybe for a whole Sunday, but I want to mention these things briefly. First of all, and this is really at the top of the list, is you need to honor God's word in your relationships. Honor God's word. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." All right. This verse, I think, means more to us that experience load shedding at night. Right. There you are at the dinner table, or maybe you're walking down the passage and boom, no light. All right. I've got this really cool app on my phone now. I've got a flashlight. All right. Boom. And I think, you know, cell phones, even just the little screen can be, many times that's what we use as a flashlight. Get the candles, get the lamps, whatever we do to overcome load shedding, right? But in the dark, you have trouble seeing, okay? If you've ever driven at night, it's not a great blessing to drive at night, especially in the nation of Botswana. I almost hit a cow, almost hit an elephant driving at night. not with my lights off, but just I didn't have enough light to see what was going on in front of me. But with light, we can walk. We can see. And in our relationships, we need the light of God's word. And we need to honor God's word when it comes to our relationships. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Children of light. And that would include allowing and letting the illumination of God's word come into our path. My wife and I just, boy, I tell you, we got really fired up. On Friday night, we were here with Merge, our singles ministry, and we were talking about strategies for sexual purity. And we divided the men and the women, and we got after it. All right? And we talked about real life, and we talked about the Word of God and applying it to our life. But some of these guys that I was talking to, and I've heard this from some of the young people in our church, is that among Christians today, people are making up their own rules for relationships apart from the Word of God. All right? And young people who sometimes consider themselves believers and followers of God, and you know, they proclaim that they love the Lord. When it comes to some parts of their relationships, instead of allowing the light of God's word to illuminate their path, they just make up their own rules. And I know this one guy told me, he said, you know, I've got friends, they say they love the Lord, but you know, they're living together, sleeping together, and they say, oh no, this was a Jewish tradition. You know, it was a Jewish tradition to have sex before marriage. Well, wait a second, time out. Jews follow the Torah. So where in the Torah did you get that? And Jesus challenged the Pharisees because they had come up with Jewish tradition that wasn't in the Bible. And he said, that's gotta go. All right? You know, other people say, oh, well, you know, our parents have consented. We are traditionally married. And so we can sleep around. Well, you're either married or you're not. And in our day and age, you have a church wedding, amen? All right? And when you get married in the church, and when the preacher says, you may unveil the bride, you may kiss the bride, and you sign that document, you're married. All right? Now, we understand people that grew up outside of the church and were, quote, traditionally married. All right? They didn't know any better. But if you're in the church, folks, you know better. And stop coming up with excuses for your carnality. I would rather a believer, don't say, oh, it's a Jewish tradition. Oh, we're traditionally married. I would rather you just come out and say, you know what? I'm just too horny to obey God. And I just can't take it anymore. At least come out and be honest. Don't blame your nonsense on God. All right, I woke up the first service. All right, I got your attention. Okay. But when it comes to forgiveness, when it comes to how you treat your kids, all the different relationships in our life, where we go to do it is the Word of God. That is the light. That is the light. And you know, I appreciate people who try to help us. You know, people that you know, they have, you know, maybe shows on TV or radio call-ins and, you know, talk to this one, talk to that one. Well, if it lines up with the Word of God, it's good advice. If it doesn't, it's just human reasoning. It's just human reasoning. Okay? And so we are going to honor the Word of God in our relationships. Amen? All right. Number two, taking action, being and initiating things in our life. Number two, love one another. John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. All right. So it's not the love from the radio. It's not the love from your favorite romantic comedy movie. It's not that version of love. It is as I have loved you. Okay. That's the love. This is the love that we love one another with. that you also love one another. Verse 35, by this, okay, by loving one another as Jesus loved the disciples, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Love is not passive. Love takes action. Love goes first. Love is interested in the good of someone else. Love is not self-seeking. Love does what is best for the other person. Amen? So we take action and we love. Number three, we forgive. We forgive. All right? I heard a Christian author say that this is perhaps the most unnatural act that a Christian does, is to forgive. Because everything in you wants to do something else. All right? I grew up with three brothers. And so, you know, we would fight as a sport, you know, and you would get in trouble and you get in fights with other boys in the playground. And it seems like boys tend to do that. But no one ever taught me that when someone punches you, you punch them back harder. I was never taught that. It came natural at 3 years old. It's part of our fallen DNA. All right. That if someone has pained me or hurt me, then I want them to experience pain. And when they experience pain, it just feels good. All right. Why do we go to all those movies? Right. The guy, his daughter gets abducted. And he just hunts them all down. I love it. Oh, I love it. He calls that guy on the phone. He says, you can release my daughter now. But if you don't, I will find you. And I will kill you. And when he does, you're just like, oh, it just feels anointed. I mean, just, oh. You know what I'm saying, right? But in our relationships that we have, and movies are movies, okay? But in our relationships that we have, our workmates, our family members, that's not the way God works, folks. Okay? Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. All right? So again, our example of forgiveness is not someone that we know here on planet Earth. It is the example of what Jesus did when he took our sin and he released us. And we were the ones that put him on the cross, yet he forgave us. All right? And he released us. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. All right? So what are we talking about? We're talking about forgiveness. This is an action. Forgiveness is not passive. Forgiveness is something that we do. Okay? Matthew 5, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, this is a very interesting statement Jesus made because he's quoting from Leviticus 19. And in Leviticus 19, it says, love your neighbor. It doesn't have the second part to hate your enemy. All right. The Jewish leaders assumed that when God said, love your enemy, then he was only saying you had to love your neighbors. All right. When God said, love your neighbors, then it was okay then that we could hate our enemies. Okay. And they added that to it. And so Jesus was now bringing correction from the heart of God. You have heard it, that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. All right? Now, again, the very first point we made was that our relationships are going to be governed by the Word of God. Amen? There is an ungodly, unbiblical, idea that is very prevalent in the Church of Jesus Christ, especially right now, unfortunately, in the region that we live in Central and Southern Africa, this idea of fire for fire. So when someone comes against you, and in a sense it's fire, then you send that fire back to them. If you remember David that was serving Saul, the king, and he, and we talked about this, and one of these things that we talked about is you do remove yourself from evil. All right. And so God, it is a biblical thing to duck. All right. So when Saul threw the spear at David, he removed himself. All right. But what is the most natural thing to do when someone throws a spear at you and they miss? And there's the spear in the wall. I've got the spear. You've got an empty hand, right? You pick up the grenade, you throw it back. All right. It is perverse. It is anti-biblical. It is actually from the pit of hell. These prayers of return to sender. Okay. I guess by your laughter, you've heard of that. Okay. But listen, folks. What governs our relationships? The Word of God. This is not a Chuck Norris movie. Okay, this is not Expendables 2. All right, this is the Bible. Okay, and Jesus Christ, the head of the church, the chief shepherd of our souls. All right, he says, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. All right. The idea of fire for fire, returning to sender, it is based on bad theology. It is based on an idea that we are living in the old covenant. All right. And in the old covenant, sin had not been judged at Calvary. And there were times where God had to judge sin in the body of the sinner. But now we live after Calvary. We live now in the age where God put the sin of the world on Jesus Christ. And he paid that penalty. So we don't have to put fire on our enemies. All right? We love, we do good, we bless. All right? Now, at the same time, and it would be consistent with Scripture, there are people that you need to remove from your life, and you need to duck, and you need to get out of the way, you need to block them from your cell phone, all right? But that's not calling fire on them, all right? You still pray for them. You still have the mercy in the heart of God. The very people that put Jesus on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they did. Did Jesus pray, fire, 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 fire? You will see one day, you will see. I will show you. It is ungodly. It is unbiblical. And you need to get it out of your life. You need to get that attitude out of your life. And even if it's not you, the one that put fire on them, but maybe they were involved in some way hurting you financially or something, and then you hear that they lose their job. And you do a happy dance. That motivation did not come from heaven. It did not come from heaven. It did not come from the one who died for you. It is earthly. In fact, Jesus said, when his disciples said, hey, we want to call fire on the Samaritans. We didn't like them to begin with. It was a bit racial anyway. We don't like that group of people. And they disrespected us. And I don't know where these young people get it. You know, you dissed me. You dissed me. We'll call fire. And Jesus said this. He said, you don't know what spirit you're of. Not the Holy Spirit. Not the Holy Spirit that brought the love of God into your heart. You are being motivated by demons. All right? So stop it. Stop it. And don't think you're being spiritual returning to sender. You bless people. You love people. Now, don't let them harm you. Don't do another business deal with them. All right? You might be in a romantic relationship. You need to get out of that romantic relationship because they're hurting you. All right? But you don't wish harm on them. You don't wish for them to have a divorce later in life or for the whatever. That is ungodly. And it really burdens me that there are Christians being motivated by another kingdom thinking they're being godly. It's twisted. Amen. And so for us here in this room, that's not how we're going to live. We're going to live by the words of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to bless them. And let me just tell you, and this is a practice that I've learned that has helped me so much. When it says to pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, it really means pray. And so it helps my heart so much that I actually say, Lord, I pray for them. Lord, be good to them. Lord, show them your love. Show them your mercy, Father. Lord, if they need to come to a place of repentance, Lord, show them. Because you can't stay mad at people that you're praying for. Not anti-biblical prayers. I pray for them. Oh, yeah, fire, fire, fire. That is not a prayer. That's witchcraft. Okay? It's witchcraft. Okay. Vengeance and retaliation has no place in the life of a believer. It has no place in those who follow Jesus Christ. All right. Now, the very same Jesus Christ I was reading in the Gospel of John this week. You know, he removed himself from this city because they sought to kill him there. All right. So it is still being a follower of Jesus to get out of Dodge when you need to get out of Dodge. To duck, to remove yourself from evil. All right. Number four. We're talking about being initiating things, starting things, doing the right things. Number four, start good relationships and end bad ones, or limit the wrong or the evil that bad relationship is having in your life. All right. Do something about your relationships. All right. Get things started. All right. Pick up the phone, talk to people, take initiative in the people that are in your life. Sometimes we just allow our relationships almost just to happen. You know, we went to school with this one, or they were our neighbor or whatever. But do something. All right. Seek certain people out. All right. And again, not everybody is going to say yes. All right. And not every relationship is going to work out, but do something about it. I remember, when Haley and I were in South Africa, and after we had worked for Ed and Lori Elliott, and we just kind of found ourselves, we just realized, wow, we don't have any mentors, and that we don't have enough people in our life that are really beyond where we are, and we really need to grow. And I remember I had a friend when I went to Bible school, and his father, just a wonderful man of God. He and his wife served in another nation their whole life, and just have an incredible work, and just they're a godly man and woman. And I remember him telling me, he said, look, Dad is at a place right now in his life where he would really like to pour into younger ministers, but he's not going to chase them down. But I'm just letting you know, Walker. And so I took that. I thought, So we began taking them out to eat. We began interacting. And some of you remember, Jim Andrews that runs Rhema Peru. He's been out here to Zambia 6 different times. All right. Stays in our home and just the amount of wisdom and insight. Okay. But that didn't happen because he fell out of a parachute into my yard. All right. I took the first step. I did something about it. Okay. And so if you're taking an inventory of your relationships right now and you realize, man, they're just not what they need to be, do something about it. Start and stop. Bring some higher and give others less importance in your life. Number five, live in love live and love in freedom, not out of guilt. Give out of freedom, not out of guilt. All right? We talked about that in Galatians chapter 6. The Bible says that we help one another when we are burdened, when there are boulders, when we are overwhelmed. And so when we do that, we fulfill the law of Christ. All right? Because we had a boulder and a burden that we couldn't remove from our life. And Jesus came and He intervened. And so we should do that for one another. Amen? But the Bible says that each, in that same passage, it says each one should carry their own load, their own knapsack, their own handbag, that which you have the ability to do. All right? So when we love and when we give, it should be motivated by love, not by, oh, what will they say? Oh, I'm going to be persecuted. Oh, the aunties are going to be talking. No, that's the wrong motivation. All right? Let your acts of service and your sacrifice and all the things you do, let it come out of love. Give appropriately, not from fear, but from love. And unfortunately, sometimes as the Church of Jesus Christ, we have been the worst culprit in teaching you how to give out of fear or obligation. All right? When we pass the buckets on a Sunday morning, if you don't tithe, you're cursed. Your car's going to get wrecked. You're going to lose your job. And so you tithe. Oh, God. Oh, finally, I tithe. Okay. It's not out of love. That's not new covenant giving. Amen? It should be out of love. It should be out of service. It should be, man, I want to help the kingdom of God to go forward. I want to bless the world. I want to make a difference. Amen. I honor the Lord with my tithe. It's not out of fear. Amen. It's not out of pressure. Well, if you don't give, we're going to have dirty shoes, and those dirty shoes will be on your head, and you'll answer to God. And so you give out of pressure, you give out of, and so their people, their whole heart is inclined to give when someone pressures them enough. Or, you know, a telethon on TV. If you want God to come through and break through in your life, you need to give $419 for Philippians 4:19, and He will supply all your need. But you got to do it right now, right now, right now. Don't wait, don't wait, don't wait. The anointing is here. Oh, it's right now. No, don't wait. That's manipulation. That is pressure. That's ridiculous. Amen? At Miracle Life, we want to raise lots of money from you. But we are not going to manipulate you. We are not going to make you all kind of crazy false promises. But we want your heart to be stirred by the Holy Ghost. And with a heart of love, amen. We've got a lot of work to do, and it's going to take a lot of money. But if you don't, we're not going to put a curse on you. Number one, we can't. We don't have that ability. Okay? And we're not going to use nonsense to do it. All right? But in all of our life, when it comes to living and loving and serving others, let it come from a heart of love, not out of pressure. All right. And not taking up others' responsibilities that God gave them. All right. Number six. And I think this is something important that we looked at was take action in regards to your emotions. OK, take actions when it comes to your emotions. All right. Emotions are neither good nor bad. It's what you do with your emotions. OK. And it's unfortunate that a lot of the world has a tendency to ask us to suppress our emotions or to mask our emotions, okay? I was really blessed. I had the privilege of doing a wedding yesterday. And in 10 years at Miracle Life, this was the wildest wedding ever. It was awesome. I mean, these folks were happy, happy, happy. The families were just rejoicing. All right. And that's awesome. All right. And I think they made a good pick. Each of the husband, we know both the husband and the wife. All right. And so rejoice. But on the other hand, you know, when a 12-year-old boy is at the casket of his father, and somebody says, be strong, be strong. What do you mean be strong? I'm going to fall on the ground and cry if that's okay with you. Because that's what's in my heart. Amen. I don't need to perform for you. I don't need to have a stiff upper lip. No, when Jesus' friend died, he cried. When Jesus was facing the cross and separation from his Father, blood came out of his pores. And when his disciples slept, he said, guys, what are you doing? He showed disappointment. All right. So we don't let our emotions lead us to wrong behavior, right? Anger does not lead to retaliation, but anger tells us something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something needs attention. There's a red light on the dashboard. All right. I need to engage something because this is wrong or pain. It's the nerve endings of our soul. But take appropriate action for our emotions. Amen. All right. And thank God for women. And I don't know why God wired women, but most women are able to understand their emotions better than us men. Okay. And so men, doesn't mean we have to cry at movies. Okay. All right. But it does mean that we've got to deal with the things in our heart. All right. And so when you look at Jesus, when you look at Paul, they engaged people. All right. They took appropriate action. Or for what was going on inside of them. All right. Number 7, we've got to grow up. We've got to grow up and we've got to allow others to do the same. All right. We've got to act as adults towards one another. We've got to be responsible. Okay. Number 8, we need to realize and recognize the hurt or the damage from our past. Okay. We live in a fallen world, and we live in a world where there's a lot of sin and there's a lot of dysfunction. And unfortunately, that sin isn't just, you know, in the newspaper or on the TV. A lot of us grew up in situations where there was sin, all right, where there was wrong. And because of that has affected us. All right. God can redeem that. God can overcome that. But you know, you look at Joseph in the Bible, that God gave him a dream and God was showing him his destiny and his future. And he shared it with his brothers. And what happened? Jealousy, murder, hatred. Why? Because his brothers were crazy. All right. And it affected his life. We saw some of the situations where Jesus had to deal with family members that didn't recognize, they didn't respect who he was. All right. And so there's all these things. We live in a nation with 1 million orphans. Okay. Where there is one or, either the mom or the dad or both parents are not in the home. Okay. I grew up in a home where mom and dad were not there. All right. There was alcoholism. There was all kinds of stuff. All right. Some people grew up with no parents. A very unfortunate common thing with such a high rate of divorce in our society is that, you know, when a mom or dad gets remarried, there is a stepmom or a stepdad. And many times kids, as they grow up, that stepmom or that stepdad rejects them. All right. That they treat their own kids better than the other one. And your mom or your dad has more of an allegiance to their new spouse than they do to you. And you feel the effects of that. Okay. And so we've got to realize that some of us, grew up with this kind of stuff. All right. And we need to let God in on that. We need to let God rearrange those wires. We need to let God bring help and healing. Some people, there was, sexual abuse or hurt or, just all kinds of strangeness that we grew up with. All right. And thank God that we're new creatures in Christ. Amen. But there's some things that we need to let God heal us and help us in. All right. Psalm 68. And I love this passage of scripture. Psalm 68 verse 5 says that speaking about God is that he is a father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. He sets the solitary, some say the lonely, in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. I think all of us, regardless of what our background was, probably all of us had some measure of fatherlessness. Okay? And no matter how awesome your dad was, he was probably less than Jesus, less than God the Father. But what I believe this passage is saying, among other things, is that God is a father to the fatherless. And so what was supposed to happen in our homes, if it didn't happen, God can and will make up the difference. He will be a father. He will be the one who will guide and love and provide and correct. And everything that a father is supposed to be, he can be that person to you. And I want to invite you in your relationships, because a lot of times the reason why we have weird relationships with each other is because life was weird to us. Okay? You know, if you look at a home where, you know, or a marriage where there's lots of, you know, just, you know, throwing of articles and objects and cursing and those kinds of things, and you know what? Somebody learned that somewhere. Somebody learned that that was the way you treat each other. Okay? Somebody that injures their spouse through physical abuse. You learned that somewhere. You don't treat your spouse like a dog. You beat a dog, you don't beat a spouse. But here's the thing. If that's what we grew up with, if that's what we saw, guess what? That's what we're going to do. But let the Father, let God come into that lessness in your life and let him make up the difference. Let him be a father to you. Let him guide you. Have a real relationship. And as the more of the Father you allow in your heart and your life, the more healing you'll see in the relationships you have with others. Get the help that you need. Amen. Get the help that you need. And this church is here to help. There are people in the body of Christ, but find what you need and get it. Amen. And then lastly, have a vision for relationships. Have a vision and have a plan. I heard somebody, I wish I made that statement up. I like it. A vision without a plan is delusional. Okay? And so God wants to birth in your heart that your relationships can be warm, they can be godly, they can be loving, they can be life-giving. Because one of the things that you see is that a lot of times in life we give up on things after disappointment. And if you've tried to have good relationships and it didn't work and you got burned once, two, three, four times, our human nature is, you know what? Forget it. I just give up. You know, people that have been looking for a job for 2-3 years, eventually they throw in the towel. They give up. But I want to encourage you today, don't give up on relationships. Don't give up on people. And regardless of what pain or things that have worked or haven't worked, I want you to have a vision that you can have friendships, that you can have family relationships, that you can have relationships with Christians that will be life-giving. Have a vision, but then take steps. And some of these things we talked about today, take steps towards the vision. Do something about it. All right. And I also want to just encourage you, whatever, wherever you are in life, it is not too late for you. It's not too late. All right. And maybe relationships have been hurtful for you. All right. And maybe things have not worked out. Please don't give up. I feel sad. Sometimes society almost kind of throws people away, you know, and I don't know why, but the age of 30, 35, 40, 45, you know, somebody's not married. And we think, what is wrong with them? Well, there's nothing wrong with them. They're a human being. They have dignity. They have purpose. Amen. And you know what? I know we do marriages here and most of them are young people. But you know what? I relish the next marriage that we do of people who are 55 and 60. It's not too late for your life. It's not too late to get this right. And you know what? Maybe there's a lot of stuff that needs to happen. Maybe there's a lot of reworking, renewing, new behavior that needs to take place. Do not give up on people. All right? And you know, I shared with you earlier that, you know, growing up in a home where my dad was an alcoholic, and so even when he was there, he wasn't, okay? And my mom had to deal with that, and then he was gone, and mom had to deal with that. And so, you know, just growing up, there wasn't a lot of attention for me and my life. And so I just, you know, you just begin to live life in a sense alone or by yourself. And it's taken me a lot of years to discover, you know what, that wasn't normal. That didn't have to happen that way. God made a wealthy body of Christ that there is love, there is blessing, there is wisdom. And as we engage each other and as we connect with each other, life can be right and life can be whole. Amen. Would you bow your head with me? Father, I pray right now, Lord, I would think it's all of us, Lord, everyone in this room that has been hurt or disappointed with relationships. And Father, probably all of us in this room, there have been things where we wish it could have, would have, if. But Father, I pray right now that we'll have hope and we'll have a vision and we'll see the wonderful care and life that you want for our relationships. And Lord, if we're not getting it right, help us. Lord, I pray that we'll come in contact with the right help that we need. Lord, it might be a seminar, it might be a book, it might be another person. It might be a counselor. But Father, that we'll seek out and we'll get the help. We'll get the wisdom. Father, for those who are broken here today, Jesus, when you came to the earth, you said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you and that you came to heal the brokenhearted. Father, I pray for those whose hearts are broken. Lord, I especially pray, Lord, right now for people who have lost a spouse through death or divorce. Lord, who have lost a significant person in their life that was, in a sense, that person was taken from them. Father, right now, we speak healing. We speak healing. We speak healing. We speak healing right now. Jesus, you came to heal the brokenhearted. And Father, for those who are hurting and those who are broken, those who they hurt, Father, we speak the very healing power of God into their hearts and their lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just declare right now, Father, that there is life after that. After that hurt, there's still life left. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray right now for people, Lord, like me, Father, that we've made mistakes in our past in relationships. And Lord, we wish we would have done it that way. We wish we would have been smarter. We wish we'd have been more engaged. Father, maybe there was stuff in our own life. But Father, right now I ask you to redeem. 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 Father, we declare what you said in Malachi, that the hearts of fathers are turning toward their sons. And the hearts of sons are turning toward their fathers. Lord, we ask you for restoration in homes, in relationships. Father, we ask that things will turn, that they will turn. Father, we pray for every single person in this room. Father, that you would give us the steps to take. Show us, Lord. Lord, for those that need to reject evil, we'll do it, Lord. Father, for those who need to open up to others in grace, Father, we'll do it. Lord, whatever it is, if we're missing it, where we're missing it, we turn. We turn to you and we turn to your word. Father, I thank you that the entrance of your word brings light. Father, where maybe we have embraced a lie or we've embraced falsehood, Lord, I thank you that we're turning away from that right now. Right now. Right now. Father, I pray for anyone in this room, Father, that maybe had difficulty or resistance, Father, with some of your word that was presented today, Lord. Lord, I ask you, Lord, help them. Give them space to repent. Lord, help them to realize that your way is the right way. That you are the God who makes the rules. And we're the followers. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know, just with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm not sure who this is for. But I believe it's in a family situation. It could be kids. It could be a marriage situation. But what the Lord wants you to hear today is don't give up. Don't give up on that person. Don't write them off. Don't consider it dead. God can bring new life. God can bring healing. God can make that plant to grow again. And he's asking you to agree with him. And he's asking you to pray. He's asking you to take steps. And that relationship can come around. And I thank you, Father. Lord, where there's been division, where there's been separation, where they've just given up, Lord, I thank you for life and I thank you for hope right now. I thank you for hope right now. And God interrupted this whole service because he loves you so much, and that relationship and that life of your child or your parent or whoever that is, God's saying, don't give up. Don't write it off. Don't write it off. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just with every head bowed, every eye, who is that? And you'd say, you know what, I believe that's the Lord speaking to me, that I'd written off a relationship. Yes, God bless you. Yes, yes, yes. God bless you. Yes, yes, yes. Wonderful. There's hope for you. There's hope for you. There's hope for you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you. We speak healing, Father. We speak wisdom, Lord. And Lord, even though that there may be a lot of pain and there may be a lot of bad stuff in there, Father, for each of these folks, Lord, help them to know what to do. Help them to know what to do right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to speak to you briefly about another relationship. And it is the biggest. It's the most important relationship that we have. And it's with a real person called Jesus Christ. He's alive. And he loves you. And he has wanted to have a relationship with every single person on planet Earth. So much so that he gave his own life. He took our place at Calvary's cross. And right now he extends love. He extends friendship. His Father extends adoption to you to be in the family of God. This is not finding religion. This is a relationship with the very God who made you. He created you. And only he is the one who knows how to make your life right. He has a life plan for you and an eternity with him in heaven. But it is up to you to accept that invitation. He made it possible for you to know Him. And now He's asking you to say yes. Perhaps you are a believer, but you realize you need to come home. There's sin and rebellion in your heart and your life, and you need to say yes. You need to receive the forgiveness of God and the life of God. You need to come home to Him today. If that's you, He's reaching out to you. Will you say yes? Will you respond by saying, Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior. Father, I come home to You. I receive new life. I receive forgiveness from You. Thank You, Father. Yes, Father. Right now, if that's you, and God is reaching out to you, and you know it, and you know this is your day, and it's your chance to say yes to Him. Right now, where you are, simply raise up your hand. In raising up your hand, you're saying, that's me. I'm saying yes to God. I'm receiving of His life. God bless you. Yes, yes, yes. Over here, Jesus said, you must be born again. You say, I'm not, but today's my day. I'm coming home to the Father. Anyone else, before we pray, He loves you and He cares for you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, folks, can we all stand to our feet right now? Let's stand to our feet. Those of you that lifted up your hand, or you should have lifted up your hand, and you say, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord and the Savior of my life. I want to receive from Him. Right now, I just ask you to grab your Bible or whatever you brought with you to church and just come and meet us up front here. Just come and meet us up front. God is going to come into your life, and the Bible says old things will become new. God bless you so much. Just right here. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Wonderful Jesus. He's so good. He's so wonderful. God bless you, young man. Now, if I was going to give you this Bible and I had paid for it and I wanted to give it to you as a gift, how would you get it? You would receive it, right? You would reach out. And so God has provided everything that you need for a new life. He's provided forgiveness and mercy, all right? But we have a part, and that is to receive, to accept what He's done for us. And so I'd ask you right now, just lift up one of your hands towards heaven and close your eyes. And right now, this prayer, you're going to pray this from your heart and simply to receive what He has done for you. Let's pray this prayer. Say, Father, I believe that You love me. You sent Jesus Christ to die in my place. Thank You, Jesus. I receive You as my Lord and as my Savior. You have risen, and I have new life. I turn away from my sin, from the wrong things that I've ever done. And I follow You now. I follow Your word. Thank You, Jesus. You forgive me. You give me life. And when I die, I'm going to heaven. In Your name I pray. Amen. 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 Amen.